So today we talked to Shane and Philip. They are the originators of the Hayden, Alabama podcast. This is a little bit of an odd guest, but what we did today is we talked about their content creation journey and how we got a nurse and a construction guy and they have a wonderfully successful podcast that's based on a small town in Blount County, Alabama. We go through their journey, but we also get really tactical. So if you're a business owner out there or you're a kid wants to be a YouTuber, this is a great, clean, fun episode for them to listen to, not only to laugh a little bit, but also to get a lot of great information and a lot of education about how their content creation journey has went and how you can do the same. Guys, thanks so much for joining me today. I got Shane and Philip. They are the hosts of the Hayden, Alabama podcast. And so we're going to get into them and their story. But also, I'm extremely fascinated by what they've done. Philip over here has got about four jobs and still has time to do all the things that he does. And Shane, full-time construction. Most construction guys I know are 50, 60 hours a week, maybe more. And they still are absolutely slaying their podcast, the Hayden, Alabama podcast. And oddly enough, it's a podcast named after a city in Alabama. So, hey guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Yes, sir.
So, here's what I want to do first. So, the first question I always ask people is, who are you, what are you doing, why does it matter? Okay, that's it. So Philip, I'm going to let you go first. Give me the short version of those questions.
So I'm Philip. I am a bivocational pastor at Blount Springs Baptist Church. So what does bivocational mean? Full-time, part-time.
That's right. You're always full-time.
I'm always full-time and a part-time title. As to supplement that, because I'm part-time, I work at Grandview as a nurse in surgery. And then I also do content creation. So the Hayden, Alabama podcast and then some other small projects.
Perfect. Oh, by the way, he's got three kids.
I do have three kids. Three beautiful girls. I don't know what I did. It was so bad at some point. Three girls and a beautiful wife, and so that's my family.
Perfect. Now, what does your wife do?
She's also a nurse. That's how we met at UAB Hospital, at Hospital Orientation.
Great. All right. Shane, what about you?
I'm Shane Thomas, and I am a construction owner. I own my own business. I do kind of excavating work kind of okay. Deal.
Dirt work.
Find a little niche in the mobile home industry and build mobile home pads and septic tank work, new construction kind of stuff like that. So do a little development on the side, do some subdivision type work where you buy land, split it up.
Yeah.
Sell lots, things.
So
like
you're
that.
Doing land subdivides. Where do you do that at?
At Blount, Coleman area. Got some in Etowah, places like that.
So you'll buy the land, subdivide it, and then resell it in the pieces.
In the lots, yes, sir.
So we need to talk later. I had no idea. So this is the great thing about not knowing the people that come on this podcast. Yeah. So we do that too. We have a company that we work with called Landex, and they do it all over the country. We just did one in Midland, Texas, and then we had one we just bought in 3,200 acres in Colorado. And we're doing the subdivides there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful business. Where did you come up with learning?
My background there is I've always been in the construction world. My dad just kind of threw me in there at 18 years old. That's what he did. At 12, he said, though, he come in one day and he said, you need to be an engineer.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good, Dad. That's exactly what I'll do.
Yeah.
So I set on the journey to be an engineer. So I got my engineering degree at UAB and kind of started working in the construction field there and just kind of picked up on the nuances of what makes land good or bad. And that's kind of where my specialty is. I can look at land and say, hey, this is going to cost you a ton of money to develop. Mm. Or, hey, we can work with this because it perks. It's got good lay, not a lot of rock.
Yeah.
You can get roads here and there. So that's kind of my forte. So
now, how old are you? Because I went to UAB.
I'm 40 years old.
Okay. So my roommate in college was Zach Jones, and he was a biomedical engineering major from Oxford. Engineering pool is small, but he's
very small.
Very small. So
I probably recognize him if I saw him.
He's a dentist now.
Okay.
And so here's the story about this guy.
That's a big transition.
There was 26 biomedical engineering majors at UAB in this department, and I said, dude, and we are polar opposites. We met on a spring break trip doing Habitat for Humanity. I had a roommate move out. I said, dude, do you want to move in? He's like, yeah, sure. So here I am, college football player, and here he is, like. And I say nerd, he would receive that. He's a nerd. He's extremely great at school, and he wants to be a dentist. Hey, why do you want to be a dentist? He said, so I can work 3.5 days a week and hunt and fish the rest.
Yeah.
I said, hey, sounds awesome.
This is a good plan.
He is 43 years old, and that is exactly what he does. If he is not working, he is hunting or fishing.
Yeah.
And so.
Hey, you got to set goals and reach them.
He knew them at 19 years old. Okay, so give me the background of like where you came from. I know Hayden is where you're from, but give me the 90-second version of each of you guys' background, like who you are, like parents, things like that.
It's a lot alike. I mean, we are who we are. But we've known each other since we were old enough to know people. So
gotcha. Okay,
that's where we come from. So yeah. Small town, good families, in kind of rooted in Hayden, Alabama. So that's all. We both grew up there. Our families grew up there, and we went to school together, played ball together, and
what kind of ball?
Everything.
Gotcha.
Baseball, basketball, football.
Perfect.
We were horrible at most of those things.
But you had a great time.
But man, we had a good time.
Yeah.
That's one of my childhood memories, core memories, is just playing ball with Philip and just enjoying that time, you know. I mean, that's a brief little portion of your life. But
what about you?
I mean, we grew up there. My family's been there, I don't even know how many years. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I love that. I love growing up in a small town. It has a stigma against it. I love it. I wouldn't trade anything for it. And Hayden, many people are probably not going to know. They know
somebody's
where Birmingham
somebody's
is.
Somebody's Googling it right now.
It's about 22 miles north of Birmingham, mm-hmm. up I-65. It's the Hayden Corner exit. A lot of people know that because mm-hmm. they pass it going back and forth to the beach. But anyway.
What they don't know is that the Hayden Corner is not Hayden Corner. No, it's two different towns.
Two different cities, people.
Hayden's east, Corner's west.
That's right. So you get off the exit, you go one way or the other.
And it's
That's
a huge rivalry.
Okay, so tell me this. So you're a nurse. Why did you go into nursing?
Similar to the dentist plan, mm-hmm. I found out you could work 3 12-hour shifts a week and you were considered full-time and you can make a good living. Now, I was told that you can make a lot better living than it really is, but I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah. Different topic for a different day.
That's a totally different topic. But so that's why I did that. I was going to be a teacher and a coach. That was kind of like your path a little bit. Because I love playing sports, I love looking back and all the mentors. That meant a lot to me.
Sure.
And I said, man, I'd like to be there for somebody else, but I chose the nursing path. And
there you are. So construction, Dad said, go.
Hey, you be an engineer and get out there and get after it. But I always like being outside. I can't do inside work. I have to be outside. I've tried the design engineer. There's a lot more money probably in the design world, but I just can't sit behind a computer and – so I'm always outside. That is a fault of mine though. I'm very hands on and it's difficult for me to hire and let it be done. Mm-hmm. I gotta get out there and get after it.
So I wanted to tell a quick story about how I came across these guys. So I'm sitting there and I am not majorly active on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, those things. I'm just not. I consume information much like yourself in the conversations we've had. I consume information through YouTube. So not a Spotify guy, even though we have our podcast on Spotify and on Apple and all those things. But YouTube is where I live. And so I was watching some shorts, and I came across the video that you guys had of the guy fishing in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That was a big one.
That's a huge one. Okay? And I was telling him yesterday, we had something similar to that with us in one of our company's Table in Time. So you got 4.6 million views on this one short, okay? How has that affected y'all's business in the Hayden, Alabama podcast?
It exploded.
Yeah.
And so the content I consume is educational content about creating content. And that's what I listen to all the time.
Yeah.
So I have some great resources that I listen to every week. They put out a show, I'll listen to it. And one of the things that they'll always tell you is keep going. At some point, you're going to do something right. Something's going to hit, and it will take you and get you where you want to be. And this was one of those videos. Mm-hmm. We had several go over a million. Mm-hmm. I think we had about 6 videos that went over a million views.
Wow.
And that was good. So that started growing, but then this one hit.
Yeah.
And it has the comments. When you go back and look at YouTube, there's several of them that say, this is the perfect story. It has
everything.
Element. And they're emotionally moved to say that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of, I guess, the first – nugget that you can take. If you're a content creator, or you're wanting to become a content creator, you have to create emotion.
Sure.
If your content does not generate emotion in somebody, they're not going to like it. They're not going to comment on it. And those two things have to be present for something to go viral.
Absolutely.
If they're not liking, they're not commenting, the algorithm just goes,
it's okay.
The funny story to that, though, is we did this on a whim. It was kind of, we were at a place in Cherokee County,
yeah,
a place called Center, Alabama.
And was there yesterday.
Were you really?
Yeah.
It's small. I mean, it's just rural Alabama.
Rural Alabama. You know? Got centered around a lake. It's great.
It's great. It is a great place to be. I know Center because it was friends of mine from college that I
okay.
went to engineering school. I met a bunch of friends there during college, and we just kind of I'm a big relationships guy. Once I build a relationship, once I can kind of connect, I love maintaining those relationships. So Philip, I told him, I said, hey, they have an annual chitlin cook,
mm-hmm.
and we got to go. And he's like, man, I don't know. It's kind of out of our wheelhouse, so to speak. Because we had the studio set up, and it's like, how are we going to do this? I said, man, let's just wing it. But that's me. Philip's a planner.
Yeah.
I'm a winger. Hey, we can make it happen. Let's just go make it happen. So that's kind of why he and I work well together. So we went up there, and we're around a tractor wheel.
I saw it. It's great. It's a great setup.
It's a John Deere rear tractor wheel.
Tractor wheel. And so Philip's like, where are we going to do this? I said, man, let's just play it by ear. Let's get up there. I see the tractor wheel. I see the old buildings behind it. One of them is my buddy's childhood playhouse.
Perfect.
That's what it is. It's just there, dilapidated, yeah. Like leaning over there.
And who are the guys? I don't even know who the guys were. Who are the guys you talked to?
So we had Casey Young,
okay.
which is Big O. We call him Big O. Brian Sneed, which I don't think he was on that story at that time.
He was no, not that story.
Not that story. And then Skylar Ray was the storyteller. Mm-hmm. And Skylar is a storyteller. And that's what I told Philip. I said,
yeah, he is.
We've got to go. We got to get Skylar. But the problem is now once we get him going, you got to be prepared to be there
have
for
a lot
3 hours.
Better have a lot of memory card.
You have to have memory. So yeah. he told us for a solid hour, just sat there and just told stories. So when he told it, of course it's funny in the moment, you know.
Yeah.
But when you're doing the show, and it's, as you well know, your mind's going 100 miles an hour because mm-hmm. you're trying to say, okay, are we getting the sound? Are we getting the video right? Are we getting
right.
what we need to get? And so as he's telling this story, I'm thinking more along, man, this is long, you know,
yeah.
and how is Philip going to break it down post-production? But when we get back, we get it all done. We put the show together, and it was good.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, that's pretty good. Philip, maybe 2 weeks later, he calls me. I'm at work. He said, I put a banger together. I said,
you knew it.
What?
Mm-hmm. I knew it.
He knew it. He said, I did. I'm telling you. He said, and he can tell you.
I was standing
you where
in
at.
Robert Reed Stadium on the football field going to help with track practice, the high school track practice. And I picked up my phone and I called him and I said, Shane, I just put together a banger. I said, this one is awesome.
This is good. It's got everything.
At that time, it had probably 100 views when I made
that.
That
is rare.
It's very rare. But
very
he knew
rare.
It. And so it was one of those things. It just all kind of worked together. He put it out and it was just off
to
the races.
So let's go back to this. Why did you start doing this? Why did a nurse and a construction guy say, we need to do a podcast? Why did you start it? Because it felt like this is your brain that started it and you're like, hey, I'll go for a ride. So why did y'all start this thing?
I was driving home from Missouri.
Okay.
Couple of years ago on vacation, and I was on the back roads. You know, there's no interstate from Branson, Missouri back home, like, you know, just straight interstate. Mm-hmm. So I'm on these back roads. We left at 5 o'clock in the morning to come back home, and I've got my earbuds in and I'm driving. My family's asleep, and I've listened to 2 straight hours of podcasts.
What? Okay, at the time before you started this, who were you consuming?
At that time, all kinds of things, just whatever. That's one thing I love about podcasts. There's every subject.
Sure.
Whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're into, you can find somebody out there talking about it.
Correct.
So I can't remember what I was listening to at that time. I mean, it may have been ministry. It could have been tons of things. But I was just driving on the road, and I said, I love this so much. I would like to also give this to other people. I would like to do something where people could enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed it.
Okay. So now, how did you come up with topics? Like you said, you enjoyed it, but like y'all's thing is kind of random. I mean, I remember hearing a hunting story and the guy having to, these two guys coached together in high school football, and they said, we're going to go hunting. And then they went hunting, and then they got a call from the head coach, and the head coach said to come back. Like, I remember, and then I got the story about the guy, you know, catching square grouper.
Yeah.
So, like, so what's the concept? Where did you come up with the concept of what you wanted to talk about?
So I'll drop a practical nugget right here first. Now that I've done this for a while, before you start content, you can't just hit the camera and hit play and start, or hit recording and start recording. You can't. If you want to create content, you can go that method.
Sure.
I would advise before you do that, where are you going? You need to answer, what do I seek to accomplish? But I didn't have that. All I wanted to do was create a podcast. I didn't know what it was about. So that's why. So I started with my buddy Brad. And we just started.
Did you fire him? Is that why he's here?
No. It just had some life changes and different things happened. And he needed to take a break for a little while.
Okay.
And that's the story. We don't have to go into that. That's just kind of, but if people have that question,
where'd Shane come from?
Yeah, where'd Shane come from?
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy?
But I've always been there. It's just been the background.
Just, yeah, I got you.
But call, and that's reality. Philip would call me and say, hey, did you listen to this? Yeah, you know, I think this, you know, we'd talk, he'd kind of bounce some ideas off of me. So when the transition, or when Brad had to make his moves, Philip called me. He's like, man, I want to keep doing this. He's like, I don't have anybody else that come to mind that I can have chemistry with and I can sit down and do this with other than you. I said, hey, man, I'm here.
Sure.
All I need to know is where to be.
So you started doing this podcast. How many episodes or how long did you go before you had any, like, what you would consider traction?
Well, it was about, so going back to where it started, so the vision in the beginning was just to create a community podcast about what's going on in our community. And that's good. And I knew that it would be limited at that time. I mean, whether it's a Hayden small town. Only so many people to consume that content.
That's right.
And that's another lesson. When you think about what is your vision, what is your goal, if you want it to go far and wide, you can't niche down to something where there's 30 people in the entire world that's going to listen to that. Now, if that's your goal, do it. Because you have different ambitions. People have different ambitions. I wanted to reach a large audience. And so when we made this transition, we didn't want to change the name, but we wanted to expand to a subject or a matter, some content that would reach a lot of people.
Okay.
But we'd like to take credit for it, but we can't.
Okay, great. Perfect.
We can't.
We cannot take credit for this because when I called Shane and we sat down that day, I forget what episode that is, we were still talking about Hayden stuff. It was everything that was going on in Hayden. But here's where the accident happened.
We ran out of content.
We ran out of content.
Yeah, there's only so much you can talk
about. Only so much is going on in Hayden, Alabama.
No one cares about the first grade teacher to elementary school.
That's right.
Well, we do.
We do. She makes a mean apple pie.
She got teacher of the year this year.
Yeah, that's a big deal. There's only 12 of them, guys.
Yeah, right. So we were sitting there, and literally I told Shane, I said, I've got nothing else to say. So here's what happened. And I'm not – this is not a business plan.
Yeah.
Do not – if you're watching this and you're trying to figure out how to start, this is not the way to create a podcast.
But it worked, folks.
So you go back to – and there's another lesson here. What do you do when nobody forces you to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that
you do?
What do you love to do?
Here's the thing that we've talked – I think you and I talked briefly about this. And there's so many people out there that you hear these videos, hey, go follow your passion. Mm-hmm. No, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't follow your passion. If you don't have any money and you just are kind of floating, you need to do what you know.
What you know.
What you know and what you're good at. Yep. It's like, I send questions to these guys. Hey, what can you talk about that you don't have to be prompted? Mm. We could talk about moving dirt.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 hours.
Yeah, I could.
I could just continue to ask questions and continue to ask questions. Yep. We could probably talk about nursing. You know that pretty good. But then also we can talk about podcasting. So you got to get to where you know, and you didn't probably know a whole lot about it. You just started to learn. And that's where I tell people, like, it's out there. But the best way to learn is to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can watch all the freaking videos you want to.
Yeah.
But until you flip the iPhone camera on probably the first time and, you know, get a cheap mic, you got to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's what y'all did. So tell me, finish that story about how it transitioned into just the first grade teacher heading elementary to what?
Well, we did what we do whenever we get together. Whenever Shane and I are together and our friends, it is storytelling. Mm-hmm. We just sit down and we start telling stories that mean something to us and we laugh and we have a ball. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have anything to do. So we just started telling some of our favorite stories. And here's another tip. If you're going to get into this, you've got to learn to love analytics.
Mm.
I know that people, I don't want to study. No, if you don't study your analytics, you're not going to grow. I mean, unless you're just lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
But so, sorry, Shane. So here's analytics. Storytelling.
Boom.
Boom. Mm. There. And so I'm looking at this spike and I call Shane. I said, dude, we have had a spike. This episode is different. What is different about it? And we went back, we looked at it, we talked about it, and we said, do people like stories this much? I said, well, guess what we're doing next week?
We're going to tell stories.
Started telling stories. And we looked and we saw, here's going back to, you know, why we do what we do. Philip and I talked about this on the way down. People are consuming content on their phone more than they're getting it from their TV.
Absolutely.
More than they're getting it from their radio, more than they're getting it from any other newspapers, magazines, whatever you want to say. It's coming from scrolling on the phone.
Yep.
And I told Philip, I said, man, if I'm going to be a part of this, I want to keep going down this avenue of clean, family-oriented, organized storytelling. Like, I really, okay. really do like this. Because the content most people are getting off your phone, if you ever pay attention to when you're scrolling, it's absolute garbage. I mean, as far as a moral compass.
You really, and here's the thing, and we got the kids same age. You really can't watch much normal TV these days.
Not in front of your kids.
Because of the commercials.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you never know. I mean, it's both. You never know what's going to pop up just on the commercial. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty scary.
It is.
Now, the bad thing about phones are there's probably more crap out there, but the good thing is you can kind of control that.
Yeah.
If you're in control, you can kind of control that.
So the next episode that we had after that one, we saw the spike, we had some friends of ours come on the show, and we said, all right, hey, boys, we're going to tell some stories because we knew they were good storytellers. They were good people to be around. And they didn't have a whole lot of reservation, that they were willing to tell the story. They got in there, started talking. We started laughing and just cackling. Well, when people see you having fun and that engagement, well, they want to be a part of that.
Yeah, sure.
So we saw another uptick in our audience, another uptick in the views. And we're like, hey, maybe we're onto something here.
Right.
But it all comes down to, you know, you were saying, Philip was talking about what you do and what you love and doing what you know. We were both raised around people that did that. They told stories. That's how people got information to other people before phones, before newspapers. You come through, you come visit on a Sunday afternoon, sit on the porch for a little bit. Hey, how'd the week go?
Yeah.
Oh, man, let me tell you about this mule this week.
Sure.
This mule kicked me 3 or 4 times, and I had to chase him, you know. And then that person went and said, hey, if Roy down here tries to sell you a mule, don't buy him because he kicked
him. He's got the kicking mule.
Yeah, he's got a kicking mule. You know, that's how information was transferred. But it was told in a story. It wasn't like, hey, take this down, write this down. So that was just been handed down from our families, storytelling, and how to do it, what to do, what stories to tell. What's important? How's it important?
Do you consider yourselves educators or storytellers on the podcast?
Accidental educators because we tell good stories.
How are you educating by telling stories?
I told a recent story about the first time that I touched an electric fence. Mm. I didn't tell somebody, hey, you should not touch electric fences.
That's great.
I told them a story about what happened to me the first time that I disobeyed somebody and touched an electric fence, and how it felt and how the shock felt, and it ran through my arm and through my body, and I threw a wrench into a pond because I touched an electric fence. You're going to remember that. God created us to love story.
Yeah.
Jesus is the greatest storyteller that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
There's a correlation.
Yeah.
And so that's a great lesson if you're a business out there thinking about creating content. You've got to tell good stories.
When they asked Jesus a question, he did one of two things. He either asked a question.
Answered it with a question.
Or he said,
let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you about this.
Let me tell you about a time.
Let me tell you about a time when a farmer was, you know. Yeah. And so, okay. So you're moving along. You start telling stories. What's the one thing that grew your audience from like 200 people to over 10,000? Because 10,000 is a lot. And when I say audience, I'm specifically talking about YouTube. What is your largest? Let me go back. What is your most watched platform?
It all depends.
Yeah.
They're all different.
Because we're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and then all the podcast platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We have the most followers on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is, we could get in the minutia here. We're not going to do that because I don't know that people would enjoy that.
Yeah.
But it's watched the most on YouTube. And YouTube, Facebook has 21,000 followers. YouTube's about 17,500. TikTok's almost the same, about 17,000, and then Instagram. We could talk about Instagram, but it's about 8,500.
Okay,
but the most is YouTube.
So most is YouTube. What made you grow? Was there one thing that made you grow from 200 to 10,000?
Absolutely.
What was it?
Reels, shorts, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
It's the less than 60-second videos.
Do you get okay? So this is me asking a question because I do. Do you get discouraged when your long form content, because I look on there, y'all are 30 to 60 minutes ish in that range. Mm-hmm. Do you get discouraged when you get 1,000 or 2,000 views there, but then you see 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, 100,000 on your shorts? Is that discouraging a little bit? Because it is a little bit to me.
It's discouraging if you don't remember or admit the fact that the human attention span is shrinking by the day.
Now, thanks to TikTok.
Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Philip and I talked about that. We sat down and he was talking about analytics. We would go back and we would look at it and say, hey, what's going on? And we would say, and I said, Philip, I think sometimes let's try this. So he would say, what if we try this? We got to a point to where we filmed an entire episode for the purpose of pulling reels out of the episode.
Like it, absolutely.
We didn't know we were going to have anything of an episode at the end of it. Our purpose was to solely get reels out of that episode. Mm-hmm. Just to see what that did to the analytics.
Okay, well, that was my next question. So the question was, what way did you do short form video? And it's simply because people's attention span. Most people are not going to consume 45 minutes. You and I will.
Mm-hmm.
I did this morning at the gym. I listened to My First Million. That's my favorite podcast. I love hearing those guys because it's more business oriented. They interview people and things like that. But the short form video was to get people interested.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing too. This is my opinion. If you could teach something in 60 seconds to 3 minutes, you're pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And or tell a fascinating story,
captivating story
in 60 seconds to 3 minutes.
I think Mark Twain, I believe this is right, you can fact check me later, I believe he said this, I would have wrote you a shorter letter, but I didn't have enough time.
That's right. Yeah.
What is he saying there? He said, if you're going to be concise, you've got to know exactly what you're going to say, and that takes time to know exactly what you're going to say.
So let's transition a little bit, talking about just platform in general, podcasting, creating content in general. The weird thing is you guys don't leverage your content for your jobs, and that's totally fine. Do you think that business owners should, excuse me, let me go back, cut that. Do you think all business owners should do video content for their business?
I'll let you lead on that.
The short answer to that is yes. But because, just as I stated earlier, everyone is consuming information off of their phone.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to somebody in today's society, they're going to say, hey, did you see that video? Did you see that short? My wife and this is a joke, right? We'll sit across the room and send reels back and forth to each other while the kids are running around. So you're sending reels. And, you know, we're giggling because that's where we're getting the content. That's where we're getting our information. The TV's not even on.
Right.
We're getting it off of our phone. So if a business is not taking advantage of where people are spending their time, then they're going to be backing up in the next 10, 15 years. That's my thoughts anyway.
That's a great segue into the next question. What should creators not do when they create content?
You should not be mad at your potential audience because they don't consume it the way that you want to consume it. If you're sitting there and you're going, well, I'm only putting this long form video out, I'm doing 30 minutes and you better watch that, you are making a mistake. You have got to meet your audience where they are. You know, if you say, well, I hate reels, I don't like reels, it's not about you.
It don't matter what you like.
It's not about you. You've got to meet them where, and so that answers the question, why are you on all the social media platforms? I want to meet people where they are. But just because you don't like YouTube doesn't mean, you don't like YouTube, but you love Instagram. Well, I'm going to post there too so you can get it. I'm not going to ask you to leave your, and I made this mistake early. Mm-hmm. I would ask people to leave Facebook to go here. And I thought, why are you making people take an extra step or try? They're not going to.
No.
That's first thing you've got to.
Everybody's got their place.
So just meet them where they are and give them exactly what they want.
How many okay, so y'all made the comment earlier, your big video, the one that got my attention, you said when you made that video, hey, this one's a banger. How many videos have you done that you thought would be bangers that didn't?
I have felt the best about that video, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
I have put out a couple. I think I sent Shane one the other day that I said, I think this one will go to 30,000, and it went to 8.
How do we gauge?
Yeah, how do you gauge that?
Solely looking at what our past history. So do we have a problem in the short? Do we have a answer to the problem in the short? Is it something that people would watch? Would you watch it? That's a question we often ask ourselves.
But we just talked about that. It doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. But if you know your audience, you know your audience, you're going to say, go, and we know our audience is 90% male, 90% Southern U.S., 90% hunters, fishers, outdoorsy, construction, hard worker type. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, those top individuals. We know, hey, so we did one, the Canon one. That comes to mind.
That's a good story.
Let's tell it.
It's helpful. No, go ahead.
So when we were in center, my buddy has a Canon, a black powder Canon. And
like Canon, like put a big ball in it.
You can link the video in this.
Okay, perfect. See. Yeah.
It doesn't shoot a ball. It's a small.
This is homemade.
It's homemade.
Oh, this is ag made. Oh, I'm talking about good old boy.
Yeah, somebody made it. Okay.
At ag class.
Yes. Yeah, in high school. Okay. Perfect.
So we were, you know, you stuff it with toilet paper. You put black powder in there just to make it boom.
Yeah.
And I told Philip, I said, hey, while we're here, we've got to video that because our audience is going to love seeing a cannon blow
boom.
Up. So we do three different angles. We put a little target up there, like we're shooting the target, and we set it off. Philip does, I had three different angles in his video. It's real short, boom, boom, boom. The cannon, you know, firing from three different angles. And it does nothing. We're like, what has happened?
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly what these people want, right?
Yeah.
This is what they're coming here for. Because I said, this is a million views if it's one. It did nothing.
Nothing.
The problem or the issues that we found so far, everybody's concerned about the target.
Did you hit the target?
Did you? That's the only question.
You must have missed it. We have people still every day trying to provoke us
to post a picture.
To post a picture of the target. Like they will go as far as slandering us to try to get us to follow up with this video to show them hitting the target.
But here's the thing.
Y'all missing the point.
You're missing the point. This is a cannon that
Johnny made.
That's right.
At Cherokee County High School. Ag class.
Come on.
The point of the video was just to show you a slow motion of the blast and the smoke. That was
why we created it. Extra magnesium or zinc or I don't know. They had something that when it's lit, it goes off and it makes this big flame.
A big plume of smoke fires out this cannon. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But everybody's going, okay, that's awesome. Did you hit the target? And I'm sitting there going, I didn't even put the target in.
Who cares?
Everybody.
That's the answer. Everybody
cares. That's the answer.
Cares.
Yeah. So they comment on it. So this video lives at 5,000 views
forever.
2 months. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I start getting these notifications and these comments on that video. Boom, boom, every day, multiple comments. All of a sudden, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 100,000. Because people, it created emotion within them. It angered them that I did not show the target, us hitting the target. Mm-hmm. And so now that emotion is high enough to provoke a comment.
Oh, my God. And the comment boosts the algorithm.
And the comment hit the algorithm, and it just shoots it up.
How important is it to reply to every comment?
I reply to every comment. And somebody may say, no, you didn't. I put a comment. Sometimes YouTube doesn't notify me, and I'll miss one. I try to respond to every comment.
And let me say this. We don't normally engage very negative or derogatory comments.
The trolls get no play. Occasionally they get me, though, because I love to argue.
But let me ask you this. Let's go technical. We're going really technical here. Is it fine to still comment to the negative post in a offhanded, nice way? Because will that continue? So if you comment, F you suck, and then I say, hey, thanks so much for commenting. Mm. Sorry you didn't like it. It's enough words.
Yeah.
There's another comment.
Yeah.
What if that spurs him to say something else?
Say something else.
Yeah. So that's why I say, like, do we need to respond? Like, we did a video on interning and how I thought interning was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was mostly negative comments. Okay. And then we did a video on why I think Apple Watches are stupid. The title was this, Why I Hate Apple Watches. Mm-hmm. And it was a litany of negative comments. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to reply to all the negative comments. Hey, I didn't have an Apple Watch when I was a kid and my parents still knew where I was. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. But for the most part, I replied to every one of them. And that, I think, is what just kept it going.
If you think that the success of a video hinges upon how great the video is, you're wrong.
Say that again.
The reach of a video is not dependent upon how great of quality the video is. You have to have comments and engagement.
Sure.
We did that test though.
We've got marginal videos that took very low time to produce that have done very well simply because people started commenting. We commented back, and now a community has been created around this video that keeps people on the platform. So now the platform says, there's one that keeps people here. We want people here. Send it.
And that's one thing that we have noticed. Philip and I talked early on about building a tribe. So you're talking about replying to the negative comments. Once we built a tribe of people that really were tried and true to us, we didn't have to reply to the negative comments. They
took care of it.
Yep.
they would handle it. And that was so funny to see.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Johnny got him.
Oh, that's it. I said, hey, that's the guy. You remember that guy? He's always on our back. He's always got our
back. We went to high school with him or whatever.
Or my wife or somebody would get on
exactly.
there.
Exactly. I hate your guts, You know what's dumbfounding to me, though, is it's dumbfounding to me if I see something that I totally disagree with or don't like or I think is or whatever, y'all, I just move past it.
Yeah.
I am shocked at the number of people that will rip you a new one because they don't like it or they think it's false.
Yeah.
What is that from, y'all?
Well, that's from a need of being right. I mean, a basic need of showing your how smart you are, you know. And that was one thing about the Skylar Rae video. Numerous comments. Great story. So too bad it didn't happen. You know, they were thinking
where we put a TikTok link to the actual video of it happening.
So we would just
checkmate. It was awesome.
It was good.
You know how many times they responded to that?
Zero.
Here's the video.
All right, so let's go back. You've done these videos and you sit there and said, hey, this is going to be a great one. And it didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Will you take the video, change the title, change the hook, and repost it?
I have some. I could do that. And you can. I have taken videos that I did early that I didn't realize how fast they needed to be to keep people's attention. There's too much drag. There was, you know, you didn't need that part to understand or to see the beauty of the story. Cut that out. And so I've gone back and done that, and they've done well.
Yeah.
But I don't make a practice of it because I have so much new content all the time that I'm producing new content instead of going back. But now title and thumbnails on YouTube. So let's say it like this. Whenever you sit down on Netflix, if you're creating, so this is for you. This is just something to think about. If you're thinking about creating content, maybe you're struggling with your click rate. When my wife and I sit down to watch TV, which is not often, and we pull up Netflix, what do? You're inundated with pictures of movie cover photos and titles on those. And so you're sitting there going, click, 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 move. Oh, well, I like that one. We're going to watch this one. Why did you do that? Why did you click that one? There was something that created emotion in the photo that's on the video and the title. And I don't think that we tie that together when we're trying to create content. The same thing is going on YouTube. They're on there just what you know, on your feed, what is this? And if you don't have a picture and a title that makes somebody take their hand off the screen and go, well, I'm at least going to read the description, they're not going to watch it. Why would you do that as a consumer on Netflix and not use that when you're creating same thumbnails thing. And titles?
It makes total sense.
From a business standpoint, if a business is looking at this, you got to identify that audience. One thing that Philip and I did is after these things started, we've seen this uptick, on YouTube, he had to go back and remove some videos that was confusing the algorithm. They never could identify, like, who are you working with? Where are you trying to go? What audience are you trying to get to? And once he did that, it was like YouTube said, oh, okay, I know exactly who it is. And then they start force-feeding the correct audience, the ones that would be interested in the stuff that we were putting out.
Okay, tell me about this. What is your opinion on user-generated content? Meaning, not this.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got fancy equipment. I've got fancy equipment. What's your opinion on one of you two holding the camera and creating something, and then posting that as opposed to you spending 2 hours on a 45-second video? Do you do any of the user-generated content? Meaning, just like my phone, us talking, random stuff that came up.
We want to.
That's where we're going to go. The people I listen to, my 1 to 3 hours of education every day, are all saying that there is a trend, a consumer trend, going back towards raw.
It is.
Unedited comment. That's what they're looking for. They don't want this polished. I mean, not they don't want it, but there's a large number of consumers out there that are like, man, just give me real. Just be serious, you know, mess up. I just want to watch you.
My team tells me that all the time. They said, this is great, but they said, when you have something that comes to your mind, flip your phone open,
and do it.
And we did that. I did that the other day. We were at the lake with me and my son and my one of my best friends, Clint. And I, everybody knows out there that I hate fishing, okay? And I talk about it all the time because my son is eat up with fishing. And Clint gave my son a $500 John boat with a trolling motor on there. And I don't know anything about none of that stuff. My 12-year-old son knows more about it than I do. And I flipped my phone open, and I started looking at the camera. And, I'm really, really believing this wholeheartedly. I said, we got to have other people help raise our kids. I said, I give you a great example. And I said, I got my boy Clint. My boy Clint loves fishing. I hate fishing. My son loves fishing. So I got Clint teaching my son about fishing. And I flipped the camera around and I shot a video of them in the John boat fishing. And he's teaching him something. I said, and I looked back at the camera and I said, hey, you've got to get people in your kids' lives that can breathe life into them on the things that they love that you may not know about.
Yep.
And that video did great. Right. It hit. But I'll give you a great example. It had a ton of likes. No comments.
Yeah. No comments. Did you put a comment to start the comments?
I did not. I never do that. I don't manage any of it. I don't create one video. I just sit behind the camera or the phone and talk. I don't create anything.
Something else to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Start the conversation. Because people are looking for community. People are looking to share their knowledge, share their opinions, ask for it. Let them know. Well, open the door.
It's on the back end of the video or on the comments?
On the comments.
Yeah.
You be the first comment. I try to ask a question, and it works sometimes. It doesn't work sometimes. But start the conversation. Let people know that, hey, come on in. It's just like opening the door. Yeah. Say, come on in the house and let's talk for a little while.
Is this a game for you?
It's a lifestyle. I mean, because our tagline or what we're really trying to do is preserve Southern culture one story at a time. And we see the value in that. That's the problem we're solving when we're doing this. Okay. You know, the food, the atmosphere, the environment, the people, the stories that has built the life that we know. We do believe, we truly believe that everybody has a story, and we're just here to try to help you tell it. And so, yes, I think that.
Yeah, game is probably not the exact word that I would use.
Well, that's right.
And I think that's what you're saying. I mean, that's exactly what you would say. I just wouldn't call it a game.
Yeah.
We love it.
Sure.
We love story. We love our culture. We love the slow talk that we do that everybody makes fun of. We call it country cursive. It's kind of a brand.
That's right.
That we have. And there's, whenever you hit this stigma that's around the South, oh, they're all dumb. They're all married to their brothers and sisters. No, we have a beautiful way of life.
Beautiful.
And we just want to preserve it and promote it and say, man, this is something to be proud of. This is not something to shy away from. There's a lady in Phoenix that sent me a comment the other day after one of our videos, and she said, I'm so thankful for you guys because everybody around me, she said, I'm from Birmingham.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everybody around me thinks that I'm dumb because of the way that I talk, and I'm having a hard time building community and finding community here. So I turn to your video every week because I feel like that I'm back home and I feel like I'm with people that I grew up with, that I'm like, man, you monetization, you can throw all that stuff out the window.
It fills your soul.
That is fulfilling. So for that, I hope that described, it's not a game. It's really meaningful to some people. And one of the generators, one of my drivers, is I've always loved to create things that people enjoyed.
Yeah.
And this allows me to satisfy that natural want to create something from ex nihilo, you know, out of nothing, that somebody just went, man, this is good.
We've talked about this quite often. I wish we would have started this 10 years ago.
Sure.
Because of the people that have passed in that time frame that had stories to tell that I know, I remember, and I've heard. But man, at the opportunity we missed to just really capture the life that people lived. Those, because they're, you know, when someone passes, when someone leaves, all those memories, all those things that they created,
yeah,
they're gone.
Well, it's like my dad. You know, my dad died when he was 70, and I tell. There's not a day that goes by that I don't tell a story to my kids that he told.
That he told.
And they're to the point now where they can start retelling those stories. And like, we'll be sitting in the car and they'll go, "Dad, tell the story about the Brahma bull."
Yes.
And I'll tell that story. So I've got a question, and I'm going to preload this question with a story. So a great friend of mine named Jeremy Crabtree, he lives in Cookeville, Tennessee. He owns a coffee shop named Poets. Really good business guy. He's part country, part hippie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, really.
I know those guys.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great human. So we're talking about he's really business oriented. Got the big beard. I mean, you know, just all those things. And so he goes, "Yeah, I got this new thing. I started selling stickers." It's like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I just started selling stickers with country sayings on them."
Mm-hmm.
And he started doing it and started doing it and started doing it. And I saw him at Market. Y'all know what Market is in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big thing where, you know, I mean, from food to clothes to furniture to all these things. He's got a 6-foot table at Market, and he is selling these stickers to truck stops and gas stations and people all over the country. And here's the comment he makes. He goes, "In the past 5 or 10 years, the South itself has built a wonderful brand."
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I think a little bit of the opposite way of what your girl in Phoenix. I think that people lean in. I got a buddy in Southern California who's one of my best friends, and his speech immediately changes when he picks up the phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
What do we call that? What is that? Man, my wife was here. She'd tell me. There's a it's coding. What is it called?
I do it with my Hispanic kitchen team.
Absolutely.
I starts talking Honduran or Spanish or whatever it is.
Spanglish.
Spanglish.
Yeah.
So tell me about the South is a brand. How has that helped what you guys are doing?
We just did a podcast which will be coming out in the future with my friends from Ohio. And we called it, well, we didn't call it, but Philip said, "Why does this matter?" I said, "Because I brought the South to Northern Ohio," is what I brought Southern culture to Northern Ohio. And a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people, and it is a new world. So we talk to people from all over the world, and they say, "We've heard about, I mean, we've got a kind of perception of the South."
Sure.
But then y'all are actually bringing these people. These are real people. It brings the South to life.
Mm.
And like you said, the brand that has created, some have a misperception, others have a perfect understanding, but they want to see it in real life, in real people.
What's the goal? What's the goal here? We got the Hayden Alabama podcast. What is your goal in the next, let's just say 12 to 36 months? What's the goal?
We'll start with numbers because those are easy to understand.
Sure.
I told Shane my goal was to have 100,000 subscribers by July
of
this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I'm very ambitious.
Yeah.
I may be delusional. There's a difference there. I don't know that we'll hit 100,000 subscribers by July. But
all platforms are just YouTube.
No, just YouTube.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, across platforms, I say we will hit that.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's not all about numbers. I look at that as people who, and not just somebody who clicked a button, but people who enjoy the content, mm-hmm. people who are being blessed by it, people who are finding joy and looking forward to it. But I think the bigger goal is to have a significant impact of putting out quality, family-oriented content that brings joy to people. I think that's the goal, man.
Yeah.
An accurate depiction, a good depiction that just and that educates on accident.
Sure. Do you have a goal of leaving your full-time job to do this full-time?
I would love to be able to pastor my church and do this podcast.
How do you think you can leverage the podcast for Jesus?
Well, it's almost, we don't have to come out and do that. Like, we don't have to come out and preach. We don't. We don't, you know, we don't
turn your Bibles to, you don't have to do that.
We don't have to do that. I mean, we're just
It is in the forefront of our mind every episode that we make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are highly attentive to our witness for the content that we're putting out. You're obviously in the business. We've sometimes sat down and recorded for 2 hours and we can only put out 20 minutes of it. Not that it was bad. It was just, we're like, yeah, that really doesn't portray the message that we want to portray. That doesn't put out.
Because somebody said something inappropriate, or because it just didn't like, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Because if you got them on there, you control the narrative pretty much.
Correct.
Like, so why would you cut something out? What would make it not fit is what I'm trying to ask, I guess.
If you look at it, and it is, so in Galatians 5, Paul writes a letter to the churches mm-hmm. of Galatia. And he, when he gets into the fifth chapter, he says that there are deeds of the flesh and there are fruits of the spirit.
Okay.
And so the deeds of the flesh, there's 15 of them. I just preached this last night.
Yeah.
That's why I can.
Perfect.
Man, he is on it today.
Yeah, that's how much I know the Bible. Yeah. I preached this last night. So there's 15 deeds of the flesh, which obviously do not promote the kingdom of God. So those are so that's what he's talking about. These are the things that you're not supposed to do, as opposed to the fruits of the spirit. And so we just kind of look at that. And man, here's the thing. So, and here's the tough part about creating clean content. If you're willing to compromise mm-hmm. and use horrible language and cut people down or reveal a lot of yourself, you can get views, you can get subscribers. Man, people will flock to that. Mm-hmm. But creating clean content and getting people to follow it and like it is, I'm going to say, and maybe you'll get some comments on your video with this, disagree with me. I think creating clean content is the most difficult content that you can create.
Tony Robbins, if you hear Tony Robbins in interviews, he never says a cuss word. Mm-hmm. But he will use the F word. He will use other profanity in his seminars. And here's why. He says it creates emotion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And what happens is, if I'm just talking and all of a sudden I drop the F word, something happens here.
I'm paying attention. Like, what is
that? And you start paying attention.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you. There's a reason that it's extremely difficult to sit. I do not like TV, but there's a reason it's extremely difficult to sit down with your family, mm-hmm. 15, 12, 8, and 2 adults. Mm-hmm. And find something on Netflix. It's hard
mm-hmm.
because there's so much out there that people, they don't really want to see it.
Yeah.
But it draws them in.
Well, we talk often about how we are portraying this, and what we try, our guiding light is, we had two guests come on a few weeks ago, and this was a funny comment because we send everybody the same, hey, remember when we tell our stories, we're clean, family oriented, family oriented stories.
Not that,
definitely not flamboyant. Family oriented stories that you can tell in church. So
sure.
The two guests, one of the guys, he's a character. He sends me back a text. He said, are we talking about in the sanctuary or in the fellowship hall with the brothers?
Eating. Talking about the preaching or we talking about the eating?
Yeah, what were we talking about? I said, okay, I'll give you fellowship hall with the brothers. We can go with that, so right? Which is, I mean, and that's accurate, you know, because you got to say there's a time and a place for everything.
Everything. Totally.
And ultimately, what I want to be able to do is sit down with your children, Philip's children, my children in the room, and never question
sure.
whether I need to mute
it's
it.
It's going to be okay, yeah.
Or turn it off.
What do your never church members say about the podcast?
Most of them want to be on it.
Well, I don't know how many of them watch it, honestly. I mean, I think most of them know that we do it. I have a couple, and they'll leave comments. I think that they are for it. I don't think that they're against it.
Sure.
You know, but I think they like the stories, and I love coming in on Sunday morning and say, oh, I heard the story, oh, you know, so-and-so told. I love this part about it, and I'm listening. Okay, that, no, see, you were moved enough to come find me to tell me about this story. No, which part of it did you like? I can't even enjoy it because I'm always just analyze. But you have to be there. If you want to be successful in content creation, you better learn to analyze.
You got to be able to pay attention. Let me ask you a question. What about you helping people with their content/channel?
I hear commonly that social media is the devil.
Okay.
It's horrible. Look what it's doing to our country. I'm not going to disagree or try to argue you out of that. I'm not. If that's your conviction, I think you're okay if you stay off of it. I'm totally fine with that. Here's the thing. We can't say that every element of social media is horrible. Okay? I had a guy reach out to me from Kentucky. Random message in my inbox on, I think it was TikTok, I think. Hey, man, love what you're doing. Will you call me? I want to start a podcast. Of course. I remember when I started and I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what mic to buy. Didn't know what an interface even was. Didn't know where to host one. Didn't have any of that information. So that drives me. And I remember being there. I want to help you out. I get on a call while I'm waiting to pick my kids up from school one day, and I said, get a pen and a pencil out. I said, I'm fitting to lay it down. I'm going to tell you everything that you need, and you could start this afternoon if you could get your hands on the equipment. And now he sent me his t-shirt. He's already had a podcast t-shirt made. He's podcasting. He's got good downloads. And now I have a relationship with this man in Sunfish, Kentucky, who I would have never met,
reached out to,
would have never known him, all because of social media. So we cannot say that everything about social media is bad.
How do we find more people like you, like me, like him, that we can collaborate and help each other?
Yeah. I think you've got to respond to your comments.
That's good.
And look at your comments. You got to care about people. You got to care about it. I mean, sure, do I want this to one day fund or provide enough energy so that I can pay my bills? Do I want content creation to do that? Absolutely.
Well, and it's similar to owning a business.
Absolutely.
I saw this the other day. If you want your business to grow, the easiest ways to organically grow your business is to call people back.
So the crazy thing is, we did a video on that, and we get this weekly. Sierra's sitting behind the camera. Emily, who's my president of planning, we have a rule that you have to call back before 5 o'clock that day. If the call comes in at 4:55, the email comes in at 4:55, and it's a long thing you can't answer, hey, Philip, I got your message. We're walking out the door. You're the first person on my list. Mm-hmm. And I posted this video about it. If you just call people back, you'll get business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bankers, contractors, bakers, restaurants. It's true. And I can't tell you how many times we've got a job because they've called four caterers and we're the only one that called them back.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. Who are you learning from the most on this podcast content creation journey?
Let me give some shout outs because I've never been able to pay these people back for they've done for me. Think Media Podcast.
He's good.
If you're not listening to Sean Cannell and you want to create content, you've got to subscribe, follow, and I'm getting nothing from him on this. He doesn't know me, but I've been listening to him for probably 2 years now. There's a guy, Dusty, and he does this content creation podcast, and what he does, so to speak to your mentorship, so this is his model. He finds people who are successful, who are doing well. He brings them in, and he asks them the same question every week, and so you're thinking, well, why do I want to listen to that? Because they're going to tell you through story, through those questions, where they were and how they got to where they are now. And you can go back and listen to that and go, oh, man, well, I wasn't posting on TikTok. Maybe I need to do that. Oh, I wasn't responding to comments, but you're saying that was the catalyst. I'm going to go do that. So I listen to that every week, and I'm sitting there just going, okay, how did they do it? what little things are they did they do that I'm not doing? And so that's, you can just pick the best, who's doing it the best, and go learn from them.
What have you learned about creating content that you wish you'd have known when you first started?
The biggest, if I could go back and tell myself 2 years ago, one thing: this is going to be the most labor-intensive, difficult thing that you may have ever done.
Why?
Because it is. Yeah. If you are going to do, again, if you compromise, you can get a lot of subscribers and followers. And if you compromise, there, we know it, we see mm-hmm. it. We don't have to go into detail yeah. of how people compromise. But if you're going to create quality, clean content, you're going to have to learn so much about recording equipment, all this stuff. You've got to learn about everything. You've got to learn how to post. You've got to learn how to talk, how to communicate. And we're not even doing it well. We're not even a fraction of where we want to be
yeah.
after 2 years. But to edit a video, my weekly episode, which ranges from 30 minutes to an hour, I spend anywhere from 5 to 8 hours just sitting in a chair with my computer, cut, zoom in, turn left, slow zoom right, all those things. So that's 5 to 8 hours of my week just in the editing at a computer. If you don't love it, you will not last.
And to quote the great Gary Vaynerchuk, you were asking about who else we listen to or watch on the content creation. Gary Vaynerchuk is one that we kind of bounce ideas mm-hmm. off of. Hey, did you see what he put out? But he talks a lot about execution. I'm an idea guy, and Philip will sit here and tell you this morning,
he'll wear you out.
I will wear you out with ideas. My problem is execution.
Mm.
So
you work 60 hours a week, though.
I'm already occupied heavily. So I can come up with ideas, but then executing those ideas is my biggest flaw. But Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, is heavy on execution. I don't care how many ideas you have. You can have the best ideas in the world, but if you can't execute, you'll never see any improvement.
Matter. Besides reps, what are you doing to get better at communication?
I read a good bit as well. So there's, if it's a book about communication, I'll usually read it. I just finished another book about storytelling to just learn what are the elements. Sure, I've told stories my whole life. I learned to tell stories from my great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. In the summertime when, you know, as a kid, growing up in the country, we didn't have all this stuff. There was nothing to do, and I was the only child and only grandchild, so I had no other kids to play with. But I had a great-grandfather who was retired. He was the only male figure in my life that was retired at that time. I spent the summertime days with my grandmother. I would get up, I would get ready, and I would barefooted walk over to his house on a gravel road, and he'd be sitting there. He'd already come in from the garden because he's in the garden at daylight. He'd come out of the garden about 9 o'clock, and he'd go sit on his front porch during the heat of the day. And he'd be sitting over there in a pair of wore-out Liberty overalls and a long-sleeve shirt. And I'd walk up on the porch, and he had those old aluminum chairs sitting out there, rocking chairs. And I would sit there, and I would just ask him. His name was Rube Hayes, and I would ask him, I'd say, Papa Hayes, tell me that story about this. And so they didn't have an air conditioner back then, so the windows would be open. Bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandmother would be in the house, and she would hear him tell me those same stories
over and over.
And she'd scream out there, Rube, quit telling them stories. I'm so tired of hearing that story. And he'd just look at me, and I'd say, Papa, it's okay. I really want to hear it. Just keep going. And so that is when I realized that I love stories because it would take me to a place I couldn't go.
Sure.
So you also got to look at what you're doing. And so we watch our videos after their post-production, and we say, hey.
That was my next question. Go ahead.
What can I do better? And so I listen to Philip. Philip says, hey, man, stop repeating what the guests say, because I have a bad habit of just repeating like the last few words of whatever they said, or a little quib or something. That's just a habit of mine that I have to be aware of not to do. And so those things make you better. Obviously, looking at what you've done, hey, can we do this a little bit better? could we speak up here? Could we ask this question to provoke our guests to tell the story better? That's the other thing that we try to do, is what can we do to help the guest that we have on tell a better story?
Watch yourself.
It's very, very hard. I don't do it as much as I probably should. If you could hire one person to help you with the show, what would their role be?
A video editor.
Okay, so I'm going to go technical on you. Why have you not hired a VA? Why have you not hired someone in the Philippines? Why have you not hired someone in Pakistan? Tanya, who is wonderful for us. Tanya lives in Bosnia. Like, why have we not done that? Because they're extremely affordable.
Probably lack of knowledge.
That's one thing. I don't know who I could trust. And another reason, well, financially, so here's another little nugget. If you're getting into content creation to make money off of simply the content creation, ad money, ad revenue, whatever, you need to stop now.
Yeah.
Until you get to where you can get 100,000 views, 1 million views on long form content, you're not going to make a significant amount of money from the actual social media platform. So I don't have a lot of money to invest in it, just to be honest with you. You know, bivocational pastors, I don't know if you know much about those, but they're you know, they're not really just on the list of top earners. But here's probably more than anything, I wanted to get in there and grind and grind and grind and learn exactly how to do it. So that's probably the number one reason I want to know, because in editing video, I've learned to be a better communicator. In editing video, I've learned how to be a better producer. And if I had not been editing this whole time, I wouldn't know what needed to be fixed.
So here's what I want you to consider doing, and we can get on a call later on, and I can link you with people. These next two videos that you edit and do, you need to document the whole process. Document the snot out of it. It's going to take you more time. Then we need to find you.
You just lost me.
Yes. I'm done. We need to find you a VA. You get far enough in advance. So say you batch 4 or 5 different videos in a week. You get far enough in advance. Give them the fourth, fifth one out and say, I want you to do what I did here to this video and see how it works. I'm telling you, it's extremely affordable. I've got 4 people I could link you with to give them a shot.
Change your life.
Well, I don't know if it would change your life, because you have to go back and rewatch everything. But if it took you 10 hours and this took you 2, that is changing your life. So let's figure that out. I want to link you with somebody to do that, because I think it would make you better in so many different ways just because of the time suck. Last question for y'all, and then we've got 2 minutes for you to ask me. What are 3 tactical things you would tell a new content creator to do?
Number one, clearly define what it is that you want to accomplish. What are you wanting to do? Why you want to create videos? Great. Why? And answer that question specifically. Don't just say, because I want to be called a YouTuber.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Not a good answer.
Not a good answer. Because that answer of your vision, I want to be here doing this by this time, is going to drive everything else. So if you don't have that, sure, you can, and a lot of people say, you'll hear educators in shorts, they'll say, just hit the record button. Just hit the record button and get started. So here's what I'll say that's like. You can do that, but would you get in your car not knowing where you're going to go for vacation and just start driving?
No.
You may end up in Michigan when you're going to Panama City.
Right.
And so now you've got to drive, once you realize where you want to go to Panama City, now you got to drive back from Michigan all the way down. I'd say it's better, take some time, force yourself into defining your vision and your audience before you do that.
Got it. Perfect. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. What questions do you have for me? Because I know that we're in the same world in a way. What can I answer for y'all?
So the most interesting thing for me, for you, is, you know, you invited us on. Well, I'm not going to go on a show without seeing where I'm going. So I get on there, I look at your videos, I see what you're doing, impressed. Over 1,000 videos, and I was just like, good grief, this guy is putting in the work. You know, we just did episode 64. And I look at that and I think, what is driving you? Why do you, because you're outworking me as far as production, the amount of content you produce. Why are you so energized to produce so much content?
I want to create a brand that people trust and look to for business and business information. I do not believe that you should have to work 75, 80 hours a week to be successful. I believe with the right tools and the right organization, you can work really hard during the time to work. You can be a great human being as far as from a family's perspective. You can live a good, clean life, and you can still be extremely healthy. Is it easy? No. Do you have to say no to a lot of things? Yes. But I want to create a business that allows me to do all that. I hate the word balance. There is no such thing as balance. Yeah. You have to be going extremely straight in one direction and then turn and go in that other direction. When I'm with my kids, I got to be with my kids. When I'm exercising, I got to exercise. Mm-hmm. When I'm working, I got to work. And those things have to be, because what happens is when you get fragmented, you're not very good at anything.
Yeah.
And so you got to, Kevin Elko says it, you got to be where your feet are. And I want to let people know you can be where your feet are and you can be extremely successful in business. So I love business. I love real estate and I love the deals. Mm-hmm. I love all that. I like food a whole lot, but I love this other stuff more. And so I am building this in order to create a community, create a audience so that we can do more of the business, more of the real estate, more of those things. I don't want to be a coach. I coached college football for 10 years. I don't want to do that anymore, but I want to do that because there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that the money that they're making, that the wealth they're creating can be extremely fast-tracked if they just invest properly, invest safely. And I love that part. I got a buddy. He owns 8 McDonald's. He has had a crew of people that are like, they own 5 to like 30 or 40 McDonald's. You own 25 McDonald's, you're doing well. Not one of them invest in anything outside the market.
Wow.
And there are so many ways out there to create generational wealth. I'm huge on generational wealth and creating our kids, helping our kids be successful. Not that is not handing them money. That is teaching them about money.
Yeah.
There's two things your parents, my parents, did not talk to us about growing up. Number one was sex. Number two was money. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's extremely important that we talk to our kids about those things. But in order to invest the time and the effort to do that, you got to be available. And so that's why I do all this. That's a long answer for a short question, but that's really the God's honest truth of why I do what we do here with the podcast and when talking to people, but also too, I love learning from all these people. I mean, David Oakley, who's got probably a $500 million portfolio of real estate, was on here. And I sit with him for 3 hours of the day and just listening to him.
Yeah.
And then I've learned a lot from y'all, because y'all are so much deeper into the analytics and the process than I am. Yeah, I've done a lot more videos, but y'all've got a lot more subscribers and a lot more things than I do. But I think we're both doing the right thing and playing the long game with what we're doing. Right. So,
my question would be, let's finish this off with if you were going to tell one story, if you had to tell one, a shock and awe.
We're storytellers.
Hey, we're storytellers, brother. We're going to finish this off
all right.
with a Thomas Cox story.
So this is from my dad. Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So
you've mentioned him earlier.
My dad was a Hall of Fame football coach in the state of Alabama. He's in the Hall of Fame for football and went over to Georgia and coached 10 years. Born and raised in South Louisiana. His dad worked at a paper mill. And so he traveled around opening up paper mills from Bogalusa, Louisiana to Butler, Alabama, back to Jackson. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they spent a ton of time on the Mississippi River. Okay. So when he were kids, it was Larry and my dad and this other guy driving this truck down the banks of the Mississippi River. They had a spotlight. One guy was driving, one guy was spotlighting, one guy had a gun. So having a great time. So it's in the middle of the night. They're spotlighting, and all they're doing is shooting possums and they're shooting coons. Yeah. You shoot a possum, you go sell it in Mobile for $1. You shoot a coon, you sell it for $5. Okay.
We're looking for coons,
but we're taking possums. Yeah. So they're driving down. All of a sudden, he shoots his spotlight, and he goes, "Shoot him, Larry! Shoot him!" And he pulls his gun up, and he sees the spotlight, and he shoots. And when he shoots, he hits a 4,000-pound Brahma bull right between the eyes. And they go, "Oh my God, Larry, what have you done?" So they get out there and they leave. They go back. They go back home. They're sitting there the next day. It's the sheriff. And they sit there for 35 minutes, and they talk about how they weren't there, and they didn't shoot no bull. Well, Mr. Toombs, the so-and-so was – the farmer was down there, and they saw a car, the truck, with this tag leaving, and that's no coincidence. Well, we weren't there. We were at so-and-so. And they go through this big story. And so my dad sits there, and he says, we're sitting there, and we finally get the sheriff believe that we weren't there. And the sheriff is getting into his car. He opens his car door, and Larry walks out the door and goes, Mr. Sheriff, we didn't shoot that bull, but if we did, how much would it cost us? And the sheriff comes back inside and talks for another 25 minutes. If we did, how much would it cost us? So my kids love that story. If we did. So, hey, thank you so much. This has been great. I've learned a lot, but also I think it's been very encouraging to business owners and people out there, because there's a lot of people out there. I think they said the number two and number three job that high school kids get asked, the number two and number three job that they want to do is they want to be a YouTuber. Yeah. And so I think you're talking to people that are probably having a business and want to do content creation. But I think in some ways we're probably talking to people that are in high school and college. And I think that's just super encouraging. It's very, very odd that you can meet such a huge audience. But I think that what you guys are doing and what we've done here today. So, Shane, Philip, thank you so much for joining me today. Appreciate it.
For sure. All right. Join us. Come on. Thank you for your time.